Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about creative ways to build up your savings during lean times. Of course, my guests are Muriel Garg, co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM Channel 141, and Ivory Johnson, financial planning expert and founder of Delancey Wealth Management. We are continuing to take your phone calls. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you. Before the break, we were talking to Rose. Rose has about $40,000 in Parent Plus loans. She is a single mother and a counselor. Ivory, you were giving her some advice on how she can deal not only with that particular debt, but also to deal with perhaps saving.
Yeah. And so what I was getting at, it all goes back to priorities, right? There's the age you want to retire, the lifestyle you want when you retire, your current lifestyle, maybe leaving an estate, giving money to charity, and then putting your children through school. If putting your child through school is your top priority, but understand that also means that you may have to work longer and have a lower lifestyle when you do stop working. And if you're okay with that, then you can continue on that path. But just understand what that means. That when you take out all of the loans for college, that you are now expensing, you know, you're trading your retirement for your child's education. If that's your priority, I think that's fine. But I think what happens all too often is we want our cake and eat it too. And so we still think that we're going to retire at 65 while running up all of these debts. I think that's when people, you know, they get disappointed.
So what should she do?
If sending your child to college is your number one objective,
let's back
child's
up.
There. The child's
the
child, there.
She already has the debt.
Oh, but is she running up additional debt?
Well, she's already got $40,000.
Yeah, she's got $40,000. So that's done. The deed is done. What does she do now?
And she wants to retire. She's got $40,000 and she Parent Plus. She's a single parent. She wants to retire. So what are some of the things that she can do?
Well, she's made the choice already. She's already made the decision that she's going to have to retire later. So,
Rose, I'll add to that some other things. So, Rose, do you have any credit card debt?
Nope, I don't.
Good for
you. Is your car paid for?
Yes, it is.
Is your house paid for?
Not quite.
How many more years do you have left on your mortgage?
About 10 more years.
You have 10 more years left on your mortgage. Mm-hmm. Based on your current cash flow scenario, you're repaying the loan now. Do you have any additional cash that you can convert to an investment position, because if she did something in an investment space that could create some residual income that would take care of the student loan payment and also then reduce her tax liability, she could actually make it through.
The question I have, are you still adding to the plus loan total?
No.
Okay, so that's already done. Okay.
Yes. And what about the child
child has his student loans also, but you know, before a child gets a loan, they go to the parent first, and they make us do the Parent Plus loans. If we qualify, the debt is ours primarily because we qualify before they even look at the kid.
That's true. But is your son or daughter working when they're not in school?
Yep, they are.
Are they out of college?
Yep.
Okay, and they have a job and.
Just recently.
Okay.
I mean, because when they first came out, you know, kids don't come out making the kind of money that I think they should. You know, there's always the factor that you don't have the experience, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But they're working now. But still, I still have this debt that, and the interest keeps going higher and higher, so I have to pay more and more. And they're actually helping to pay toward it, but.
Okay.
What I would say is, to the extent that the house, when the house is paid off, the money you were using to pay off the house, use that to pay down the student loans.
Yeah.
So your cash flow stays the same, but just for an extra 5 years.
Yeah. Rose, good luck to you, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. RJ calling from Virginia, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead, RJ.
Hey, Harold. Love your show. Listen to it every evening.
Thank you so much.
Just a couple of real
quick points I wanted to make. Number one is, at a very young age, and I'm 60 years old now, my uncle taught me, he says, listen, the first bill you pay every month, every single month, I don't care what, is yourself, number one. Number two, he taught me the value of money on a small scale, like quarters, dimes, nickels. In the early 90s, late 80s, I saved up a 5-gallon water jug full with change, nothing but silver, 80% quarters. You know how much money it was, Harold?
I can't imagine.
$13,000.
Wow.
Couldn't even lift it.
That's a lot of George Washington.
Yes, yes. And also, I just had to disagree with your panel real quick, and, you know, respectfully, is that there is no emotions in money. None. None. Because in order for you to have an emotion in something, it has to have an emotion for you in order to be satisfied. And it will not. It will not. I think we have to look at money and teach our children that it's a tool. It's a tool to be used to get the things that you want for your family, plain and simple. Last point, Harold, is that my uncle taught me, he said, listen, and I come out of the city of New York, born and raised, mm-hmm. living in Virginia now. He says, don't ever, and I mean ever, invest your money in something that if you pour water on it, it'll dissolve.
What does that mean?
Such a valuable lesson, because he told me, do not get into the illegal trade business.
Okay, well, But I mean, I don't get the water thing, though.
Well, he's saying that...
You're talking about drugs? Yeah, okay. Right. You know, like I said, RJ, yeah, we got that part.
Right.
Yeah, so your uncle was smart, and I'm glad that you stayed out of the drug trade. But listen, thank you. And I think you do make, you know, an excellent point. And I do want to drill down a little bit more about those nickels, those dimes, those quarters, and those pennies. Where do you put that money? Okay, RJ saved $13,000. Where doesn't RJ or anyone else put that money, and how do they leave it where they put it so that it's not gone within a few weeks or a few months?
Aside from the jar that's in the house?
Exactly.
One of the things that's really been a convenience and also a great discipline are online banks, because it's not easy to get to that money. And sometimes the further away from you it is, it's the easier it is for you to save.
Mm-hmm.
The same with taking the money out of your paycheck and having it direct deposited into a savings account, because then you don't have to worry about taking it and depositing it. You don't even see it. Before you get your check, it's already been taken out. So using online banks is a great tool to help sit in a discipline to save money.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but online banks usually pay more interest than a lot of the brick and mortar businesses, don't they?
That's because they don't have the overhead.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. They do not have the overhead, and that overhead being the cost for brick and mortar facilities and the staff, et cetera. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, to the extent that you do have a savings account with the brick and mortar, just don't get an ATM card. Just keep it in savings and don't have it connected to your checking account. Because if you have a savings connected to your checking account, you can go online and press a button and now it's
That's
in
true.
You. But if you have to go down to the bank and physically withdraw it, then you're less likely to take it out. But, you know, to Muriel's point, it all comes down to focus and discipline. At some point, you have to recognize that you have to be disciplined in order to put yourself in a position where you can save money.
Mm, I like that. Making it literally, logistically more difficult for you to get the money,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have the time to go downtown or to go around the corner, as opposed to, like you said, the ATM card or that, yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that could really be the difference between maybe I'm going to pull $100 out, or I really don't have time to go get it, so I'm going to leave it where it is.
And the other thing is, it changed the way that we look at money. Money is a business, and it is the way we spend money is emotional. But if we think of money as a business, our whole approach to money will be totally different. And so what does that mean? Money is a business, and the whole purpose of money is to make money. And it makes money really simple off of interest and fees. And so if you understand that money is a business, the purpose of money is to make money, it makes money off of interest and fees. And if you then condition yourself to understand that you are the business owner of the money, that money in your household, then your whole purpose for your business is for your business to grow. And it sounds corny, but the purpose of your business is for your business to grow. Your business is your money.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about building up your savings even during lean financial times. Let's go to Renee, calling from Virginia. Renee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So just some practical things that I did, I was sort of forced to make some lifestyle changes to get control. I felt like I had lost control over my finances. I was making a decent salary, but I ended up getting a second job, and I also had a conversation with my child to say, you know, this is the plan going forward. And I totally changed how we eat, no more eating out, and then I targeted, you know, bills specifically, until I was able to then save even just a little bit. And I did like the automated deduction from my checking account to put into a savings account, stop shopping, you know, just totally changed how I was living so that I could get control back over the money that I was earning. And then I still ended up keeping the second job so that I could still, you know, continue to pay down as much debt. And then eventually I got rid of my credit cards, which was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now I have control again. So I'm just very mindful of how I spend and, you know, not really caught up in just doing anything frivolous.
Renee, let me ask you, what was the aha moment that made you change the way you were living? Was there one particular watershed incident, or was this something that happened over time?
Yeah, it was a watershed. I got divorced. And I ended up being stuck with a lot of debt that was shared in the marriage. And then once the divorce happened, I still had debt that, you know, wasn't a part of that divorce settlement that I needed to get control of. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that second salary, you know, sort of carrying, which was a larger salary. So, I had no choice but to get control over my finances.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Darren, calling from St. Mary's County. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hi. How y'all doing?
Just fine.
I just wanted to say, like you were saying about discipline, myself, I started at an early age, went to sports with my mom. My dad was with my mom. To even today, it's simple things like not buying lunch every day at work, owning a prepaid phone as opposed to a paid phone. I find that myself, I have lived on paycheck to paycheck since I was about 24, or 44, I think. And most people I know, they have things that I can afford that they can't afford. So that's why they can't save any money. Mm. And business, your car. I can afford my car with eating out if I wanted to. Most people I know, they can't get their car fixed, but they have the car. So that's why they can't save any money.
Yeah.
So you got to be disciplined, and it's just like going to Walmart buying sodas, if that's what you drink. And so everybody can save some money. It doesn't really have to be taught.
Yeah.
For me, I was taught from a friend of mine that it's not what you make. It's what you do with your money. And if you don't have nothing to show for, if you go to work every day, I feel sorry for you. That was what he taught me.
Okay.
And that was a friend of mine, because that's sad. And a lot of people can't see that.
Well, Darren, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight. We are going to continue this conversation on the other side of this break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Saving money during tight financial times. We'll be back in just a moment. And that money. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about creative ways to build up your savings during lean times. Ivory, I had conversation with a friend of mine, and I've actually been talking to her for a couple of months, and about investing.
Right.
And she sent me a text just last week, and she said she was going to call this investment company, and she said, "What do I ask for? What do I say to them?" And we were talking specifically about retirement. And my response to her was just to make it plain and just tell them what you want to do. But as an expert, what more should someone say when they are, in her case, starting to put money away again for retirement after taking a hiatus because of financial crisis?
Well, the first question you want to find out is, well, you know, how do they get paid? You know, is it a fee? Is it a commission? What's their typical client? If they're only used to dealing with million-dollar clients and you only have $100,000, that's a different conversation. But the question she wants to find out is, do they do planning or do they sell investments? Because she needs a plan. I mean, it's one thing to say, I sell refrigerators, but how big is the kitchen going to be relative to the size of the house? So you need to have an overall plan, because they may say, well, before we get to saving for retirement, do you have that emergency fund? Do you have an umbrella policy in case somebody sues you? Do you have a will? So there might be some foundation questions that she needs to clear up, and then at some point get to the investing. Then how do you invest? Is it a lump sum? Is it dollar cost averaging? When do you need the money? What's your risk tolerance? So these are all questions that come as a consequence of doing comprehensive financial planning. That would be the number one question I ask, is how do you dispense advice?
Interesting. And Muriel, for people that let's say we have some young people, some college grads, for example, who are starting to get into their careers. What is the best advice that you have for someone like that who is trying to put away some money?
Stay away from credit cards would be the first thing, because interest in credit cards is going to take away any type of wealth accumulation you're going to look to do. And the second thing would be to save as much as you can. I advise young people, if your employer does not offer a retirement plan, then you need to set up an IRA account, and you need to put the maximum amount allowed by law into that account each year. Granted, you may not be able to wear the fancy clothes that other people wear, but it's all about living for tomorrow, not living for today.
What about a personal financial audit? What goes into something like that when I'm talking about what's at home that you're cutting back on? What kinds of processes should you go through to cut down on spending?
The first thing I say to students is to do a daily spending log of how you're spending your money.
And not just students, anyone.
Students, when I say students, adults and students that I'm encountering in financial education,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that you do a daily spending log. And I tell them to do the log and to actually note the expense when it occurs. Don't wait till you get home and look at all the transactions on your debit card. Actually note the expense when it occurs. And the reason being is when you have to take the time to note the expense when it occurs, you're thinking about whether or not this is something I really need to spend money on. It causes you to stop and focus and think about what's really important. And then at the end of the week, you can actually look and see, what were my priorities during the course of that week? How much money did I spend on food? How much money did I spend on transportation? How much money did I spend on entertainment? How much money did I spend on me? Then go back to, what did you say were your 1, 3, and 5 year goals? How does your spending align with your 1, 3, and 5 year goals? Because if your goal is X, but your spending says Y, then there's time that at that point you need to sit down, look in the mirror and say, you know what? Something's not working here. I've got to adjust something.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Ivory. Your thoughts about that personal financial audit.
Well, to Muriel's point, you know, everybody wants to be rich, but not everybody wants to get rich. And so you have to identify where you're spending your money. So, you know, take, for example, let's say I was going to come into your house and take $500. Well, I'd give you a $500 out of the blue bill. You'd be upset. But if you're spending $4 a day, every day on Starbucks, well, guess what? you're spending that anyway. So, you know, itemize where you're spending your money, but also determine what gives you the biggest increase in your quality of life. If Starbucks is more important than, you know, than going on a vacation, that's one thing. But generally, that's not the case. And also, get in the habit of saving money, because whatever is in motion stays in motion. So when you start saving, you start making money for the first time, if you get in the habit of maxing out your 401k and having an emergency fund, that will just be a way of life.
Mm-hmm. And then, Harold, I know, because the other thing that we really didn't touch on is changing our pattern and how we pay our bills. Because most people have more month than they have money. And this whole conversation about savings just doesn't make sense because they've got bills, 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 bills. However, if we change our habit around our bill payments, we will see more money coming to us. So what does that mean? Stop being a grace payment player. Grace was not intended for us. Grace is intended for the lender. During the grace period of time, yes, they're not reporting it to the credit bureau and they're not charging us a late fee, but we are accruing more interest on the debt. If we can start paying our bills one day before the due date, something as simple as one day before the due date, we will start to see a difference in the income that comes back to us. And so these little things, the pennies that go in the jar, doing the financial audit, paying your bills one day before the due date, if you're just struggling trying to make it from day to day, those little things will show a difference in your financial outcome.
But a lot of it's little things. It's that extra drink you have at happy hour. It's, do I order food at happy hour? It's, do I stay, make my vacation 5 days or 7 days? A lot of times there are very small choices we make on a daily basis,
right,
that really add up. You talk about bringing lunch to work. You can spend $20 for a pound of turkey and Swiss cheese, or you can pay $10 a day for a sandwich at the deli at work. So these are all little things that just add up to really big things. And in terms of compounding interest, if you save $2,000 a year, in a tax-deferred account every year from the time you're 18 to 26 and stop, and your twin brother starts saving at 26 all the way to 65, if you both get 10% return on your money, the person who stopped saving at 26 will have more money than a person who paid from 26 to 65.
Why is that?
Because the compounded interest. Mm-hmm. They will have built up such a snowball that it will outgrow the person who started later.
And these are just the simple things. And if you're going to go out to eat at breakfast or at lunch. Don't go out to eat at dinner time because it's going to cost you more. And so these, we have control. Remember, I said something corny on the other side of the show. Money is a business. And if we manage our business of money from where is the interest and fees going, it'll change the whole dynamic.
For you personally, and I'll start with Muriel, early in your considerations about money, was there something that you did to change how you spent or saved that bore fruit relatively soon?
I started avoiding the department stores. Mm-hmm. I changed my shopping habits, and I realized that the markup on consumer goods was greater than the amount of money that I was getting from my boss every 2 weeks, and it sure enough didn't equal my raise every year.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, men, you know, women certainly, but men also, when you change, you know, your shopping habits and how you take care of your clothes and your expectations, I guess, managing your expectations as it relates to those things, I would imagine that, yeah, you can see a difference rather quickly. Same thing for you, Ivory. Was there something that you did that made you say, aha, I made this change and now I can immediately see a positive result?
Well, my change came because I got a credit card on Monday and I was 23 years old and I was on the plane to L.A. to meet someone I met at the club.
That'll do it.
And I built and I had a, and I had
the club a, will get you every time.
And I had a credit card. All of a sudden I had this big credit card balance. I said, well, this isn't cool. So I just at that point I said, well, this can't happen again. It was just a change of a behavior. And the reason that was important is because I began to save my money and I built up a nice nest egg. When I had an incident where my former employer sued me, I had legal money. Had I not done that, I would be out of the business. They would have bankrupted me with the legal bills. Mm-hmm. So only because of the behaviors that I adopted, because I didn't want to be in the hole again, allowed me to continue in my current profession. Mm-hmm. So it's very serious. Sometimes if you don't have money in the bank and you're accused of something you did not do, where do you go?
Yeah. Yeah, and because you need a lawyer or some other.
That's real talk. Yeah. And understand, when you get and it's a civil suit, you have no access to credit. You can't borrow money from anywhere because they're going to ask you, are you subject to a civil suit? So sometimes saving money is really just a survival instinct.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, a lifeline.
And when we think about taking care of our children and being able, in the event of an emergency, you know, the reasons why the prison industrial complex is flourishing is not because everyone in it is guilty. It's because their parents didn't have the nest egg to hire the proper defense to keep them out.
I tell people this all the time, and this is what I did. November 13th, 2001, I quit smoking. October 30th, 2002, I moved into my new house. I saved my smoking money and used that. I was a big smoker. I used that money to help with the down payment on my house. Good health and financial health for me. So something to think about if you are out there smoking as well. Cigarettes are expensive in more ways than one. Muriel Garr, Ivory Johnson, thank you both so much. Really appreciate it. And keep saving that money.
But thank you, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, April 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for the